Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information about the news and links we talk about on the show, go to our website at www.geeksOn.com.
Happy tricks to you.
How's this supposed to get us like energy?
Until
I don't really know.
Geek time. Again. No.
Welcome, my geeklings. Welcome back to Geeks On.
Yes.
Did you miss us?
I missed you, Don.
Oh, that was cute. No tongue.
I haven't seen anybody in a long time. So
none of us have. For those of you out in our geek listener audience, all of us are just ridiculously busy with everything in the world.
Yes, Cheyenne, we have the books. We're not holding them hostage. I'm not asking for ransom.
We have received a role-playing game from one of our listeners, Cheyenne.
Yes.
Quite a while ago, actually.
Quite a while ago.
Yeah, it's a little embarrassing. But we have, literally, the only times we've seen each other over the past month or two has been when we're sitting down to record this show.
And then we all go to sleep afterwards.
Yeah, it's like, we go home and crash.
Yeah, we're having a little bit of swamped work.
Yeah, well, two of us are burning the brain cells on E3 stuff right now.
And two of us are just burning the brain cells.
Yeah, well, Peter's knee-deep in a new writing project. I know that.
Right, and I just suck.
And I thought you were working on Numbers right
now. Yeah, I'm working on Numbers.
Oh, no, the horror.
The horror!
Yeah. Well, I actually just picked up a new job, too.
Cool.
I am now officially a freelance copywriter. I have my first series of jobs with this company.
Oh, excellent.
Apparently, my first piece for them blew them out of the water, so.
Brilliant.
Yay!
Apparently, they're coming back.
My God, I went out on this pilot today, and both Peter, you and Don could write a better pilot in your sleep. Seriously. Just like sleep writing. Oh my God. It was horrific.
Ambient sleep writing.
Yes. So how has your geek week been, gentlemen?
I'm well on my way in Oblivion, the new role-playing game on Xbox 360.
Out on PC.
Oh, yes. Also out on PC. Yep. I'm having fun. It's one of those go-at-your-own-pace role-playing games.
How come you don't want to play Splinter Cell with me? Why don't you love me?
I've played Splinter Cell for like a year.
No, it's all right.
I'm a little behind.
I just want to play any game with you and Eris where the two of you are on the same team.
Yeah, okay.
Splinter Cell would be an awesome game with Eris because he would be clueless. He's probably listening right now.
Yeah. But sorry, Eris.
We have this friend Eris who is just the most fun person to play any game with. His enthusiasm is the most infectious thing you will ever know in your life.
Oh, you actually heard him in Jock's
On. You heard him. He was one of the jocks from Jock's
On. Yes, that's right. So.
There you are.
Yeah. I'll get on and play.
Okay. I want to jump on.
That's a hard game. You should play Dawn with it. It's a third person sneaker. It's a little hard, though.
I prefer a third person loafer. But
oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
Anybody else doing any geeky stuff this week?
My wife got a small role on Invasion.
Yay!
Oh, cool!
That's awesome.
Any tangible death or anything?
Well, actually, she plays a... this is interesting because
is this releasing
possible recurring?
Supposed to be releasing?
Can we discuss this?
If she's but if they're putting it in the breakdown, then it's in the breakdown. You know,
I just got a part in Loss, and
yeah, that's a different story.
And Laura Palmer did it.
Actually, we maybe can't
put that on.
All right,
something.
I had something interesting happen to me this week. I attended my very first video game seminar by the ESRB.
Ooh.
I got to sit in and learn about their rating practices, how they go about doing it.
Why they suck.
The process for it. Actually, I was very, very impressed by them.
Yes, really?
I was very impressed by this group. I actually have a lot more faith in this group now.
Hmm.
Especially because I met them, and they're all video game players.
Okay. Also, remember the ESRB.
They're our age.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the director of ratings is, I think, younger than me. I'm guessing he's like 26. He looks like a kid.
He is a kid.
He looked 18, but I mean, I'm guessing he's 26.
And remember, they're the ones trying to prevent the government from making the same decisions. It's a regulatory group that's imposed, that the video game kind of set up so that the government didn't do it themselves.
Now, are they nominated by the video game industry, or are they nominated by themselves?
They submit. The video game industry submits to ESRB.
Oh, okay. So they say,
you don't actually have to put, you can put out a video game and not go through them.
Yeah.
You can just...
But it damages the video game industry if it brings a bad name to video games.
Right. So yeah. It's like the film industry. You can release a non-rated movie, but you have, you know, but...
hard to get it out, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's hard to get people to
these people were really interesting. They gave a good presentation. The first part was really dry, but the second part, they were like, all right, now these are all the video game clips from a game appropriate for children. This is violence, and this is sex. Now these are the parts that are approved for teens.
Now
these are mature... And now this is adults only, and this is the stuff we couldn't believe that anyone submitted to us. Let's watch. You know?
Wow. Yeah, but I have to say that I know they're taking this just from public pressure. They make their choices because they're taking feedback from the general public.
Yeah.
But their version of what should be teen, mature, and adult only is completely ass backwards.
You're saying the ESRB is ass backwards?
What's that?
You're saying the ESRB is ass backwards?
Yeah. The fact that showing a boob puts you in adult only, but gutting somebody and shooting him in the head is
They talked about that. They talked about this at length. Their explanation for it is their ratings are set by three testers. Mm-hmm. Those three testers are specifically picked to be of a different socioeconomic, professional, and ethnic background.
Right.
And so the three of them come up with the ratings individually, like separate from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the reason why the ratings are the way they are is because, flat out, America finds violence less offensive.
No, I understand that.
Right.
But they're just
trying to say
mirroring the public.
They're trying to say that as our standards change, theirs will too.
Yeah.
But here's the clincher. What someone in the audience asked was, will we ever see a worldwide rating system?
Mm-hmm.
Right. To which they had to answer, it's just not physically possible.
No.
The video games that we approve here can't swing it in Europe. They get shot down. Like, pretty much anything with violence can't make it into Germany.
Right.
You know, they have to change the color of the blood. They have to take out all sorts of stuff. But sex, the sex in our games are tame compared to the stuff that's acceptable over there.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know what? You know that new game, Mark Echo?
Yes.
Where you just go around and spray paint?
Right.
You know that was put in the...
Yeah, getting up.
Yeah, you know that was put in Australia? That was put in the same adult-only category where it was... They could not release it at all. I mean, it was...
Really?
Could not release it. It's in the kind of the X-rated because of the...
Vandalism.
Vandalism.
Whack
That's
job.
Crazy. All right. Anything else before we move on to news?
That's a good topic for the future, though, in terms of the ratings. Not that we haven't already covered it a few times, but...
We got to always argue that every other month.
Exactly.
I actually made a contact over there that I'm trying to work for an interview, maybe.
That would be awesome.
That would be really cool.
Also, Dan Kim from Lost has contacted me, and we're going to get him, but it's just a matter of when.
All right.
I'm figuring out the topic.
I'll see it when I believe it. Does that mean we get to fly to...
Did you just say, I'll see it when I believe it?
Yes.
Okay.
Double dog dare you, Matt.
Okay. Okay.
Shall we do a little geek news?
Some geek...
Geek news.
Geek
news. I'll start. Mine's easy.
Done.
I don't have many details on this yet. It's just breaking news that Jim Henson Studios released today. Jim Henson Studios has announced its next major TV line, which will be a live-action Thundercats series.
No way!
Live-action.
Cool!
Apparently, they've got almost all of the creative team back from Farscape, including, apparently, almost all of the actors from Farscape will be playing supporting parts in the first one.
They do like reusing people from other casts. They love
apparently,
it.
I didn't get many details on it. Apparently, the two leads, they wanted to get back the two leads, the man and woman.
Right.
I don't know their names. But apparently, they already have commitments to some other series.
Claudia Black and Ben Browder are both on Stargate.
Stargate? Okay.
Yes.
They're already pre-committed to Stargate. So they couldn't get back most of the original cast, but the heavily made-up ones are going to be coming back for major supporting characters.
Cool. Now, don't they all like drive like big crate? I'm just too old.
Just too old.
Yeah, so I'm not as like Matt's well, about ready to come.
Apparently, they're reimagining the series. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be the old Thundercats that we all know. It's going to be existing in the same universe.
Oh.
And the premise is that the cats' planet has been destroyed, mm-hmm. but there's this mothership that has a bunch of the survivors on it. Our heroes, the ones we follow, mm-hmm. are on a ship chasing that one through space, trying to reunite with the rest of the cat tribe.
So it's not Lion-O and all of that.
It's not Lion-O, although they've told us that I think that may actually be the way the cartoon series started. I don't know.
Yeah, they're probably gonna make an appearance. There's no like sweeps. They're gonna Lion-O next week. Lion-O,
very special guest star.
Yeah, the cartoon series started off with basically one guy who is sort of the mentor of Lion-O, and he's running the ship, and he realizes he's going to die in getting it to this new planet.
Oh, right, he shows up as a ghost sometimes.
And he shows up as a ghost sometimes. He's very, very Obi-Wan.
Okay, so this thing will be filming in New Zealand. Apparently, they're actually going to be digging it because it takes place in space, mm-hmm. and they've got all the same crew. I don't know if they're going to be using some of the same sets or whatever.
Slick.
From Farscape, but
wow,
it could be Thundercats Farscape too.
I'm so excited, and
recycle,
I just can't
reduce, reuse. You know,
there you go.
I know.
I want cats.
Should I?
I have a casting story. We can
no. Hit on it.
How about me? Okay. Well, I have a follow up. Actually, I don't know if we can get in trouble for this.
I have a follow-up, too. So
this is a follow-up about the Star Wars television show.
Now, this is interesting because this has been a busy week. I mean, I think now that they've actually got their writers in, they've suddenly been talking, all sorts of news has been coming out about what they're going to do with the show.
What do you mean, on Lucasfilm?
On all the Star Wars, they're casting the show right now.
Fuck, really?
So, in fact, this landed on our desk. I mean, it's going around Hollywood. It's not on the internet, but the sides are faxed everywhere to all the actors and stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, they're actually faxing them out. And this was, I can't get in trouble for this because I didn't sign a disclosure thing. So I guess I can mention this. But anyway, this is a description of the show and what it might be about. And this was on the cover letter of the sides. Now, the sides are like descriptions of like the characters, quick descriptions of the characters so the actors can come in and read for certain parts. So anyway,
well, I don't want to get her in trouble, but did you get these sides from Christina?
No, I did not get this. This is at work, and we get sides often. So this is floating around. Although this wasn't to us, I think it's just hot news. So anyway, let me read this. This is a little part of it. The exciting and troubled times of young Luke Skywalker as he stumbles through his adolescence discovering what it takes to become a hero. A junior at Mos Eisley High, Luke befriends a quiet but troubled teen, Han Solo, and becomes best friends.
I don't believe it.
Oh
my god.
Even with a diverse collection of alien life, sandmen, and the occasional visit from the Empire, nothing will be able to break their friendship. Except for maybe one person. A new transfer student from Alderaan, Leia. A young girl whose beauty catches the eye of both of them. Could this love triangle tear them apart? How long can Han take the abuse from his father? Will Luke discover any secrets from his family's past or future? The adventure begins today.
Oh, God.
Now, I think this could kind of work, actually.
No way.
No.
You know that. And this is the reason why. Because they are obviously just going completely, completely away, and they're just throwing it away. They're kind of like starting a new Star Wars universe. They know they have to do 5 years, so it's kind of like the Teletubbies.
So they're all going to hit their heads and forget each other at the end of the run?
This is the Smallville equivalent of Star Wars?
Exactly.
No.
I think you could get 5 years out of it.
All of the good feeling I had for Thundercats is now gone.
Yeah.
Washed away.
I don't know, because I heard something different than that.
Really? Well, yes. This is actually came off the desk. So
well, I could be completely wrong. But we have talked about this before. I've heard that they're going to have that basically what they're going to do is they're going to show none of the main characters, what I've always heard,
it's about Luke Skywalker.
I don't know. I mean, I've always heard that it was supposed to be a connection connecting between the two things without actually showing any of the main characters. So it's connecting it's the story of what happens to the universe over that time.
Compared to the casting. So what did you hear?
What I actually heard was that one of the subplots of the news story is actually going to be the Jar Jar origin story.
Well they could do that.
Yeah, that doesn't
not a main character. He was a sub character. He wasn't.
But how does that not?
That,
into
I mean,
this?
Since Ahmed Best
maybe
is still
it is.
Around,
episode one is but, the origin
but,
story.
But I, no, I mean, I heard that it was going to be a story of the whole Binks family.
Oi.
Well,
that's but here's another thing.
But they could just do that.
Little
could,
House on Naboo.
Yeah. They,
oh.
No. God, Don, why do you go these places?
I just want to see him rolling Listen, down the flowery slope. With
I'm not.
His
I'm not suggesting that this is what the story's about.
Me does not want to study algebra.
No, but that just simply that at some point in the course of the entire 5-year story arc, they were going to land and find out about the Binks family.
Well, you know what?
It's very possible.
See him as young Jar Jar.
They may be popping around because I know that here they mention that they're already looking to season 2. They're expecting this to last a while. They don't expect to be cast. They're already looking to season 2. And apparently,
5 episodes. I give it 5 episodes.
Apparently, they're even casting, trying to find a Wookiee character because they think they might introduce as the school bully. The young Wookiee.
So I would be up.
They didn't mention the name.
I would be. I would be up in arms against this. I'm sorry. I know you think it's a good idea.
I'll strike. I'll walk. I'll grab signs. I'll take a march to Washington.
All right. Oh well, God. That's. I'm just saying this. That's what they're casting for.
No, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I would.
All right.
You know what? No. Lucas oftentimes fakes people out. This
Thundercats
could be a
will beat the crap out of this new Star Wars show. That's
all. Apparently, a whole bunch of actors are showing up to this joke.
All right. A few weeks ago, Microsoft announced the company would not be shipping the next version of Windows. Remember this? This is a follow-up. Called Windows Vista until January 2007. The announcement followed an already long string of delays dating back to the original release date of 2005, right? Today, Microsoft trumped all previous delays when announced that Windows Vista operating system will be delayed indefinitely.
This is total insanity.
Yes.
This is crazy. It's going the way of StarCraft Ghost.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, oh my God.
The release date is now officially
Which
TBA.
Is funny because Ghost was only supposed to run on Vistas.
Right, exactly. according to the press release, some company insiders have also been heard referring to the release date as sometime or whenever.
That's in. You guys buy a Mac. I'm telling you, you might as well do it now.
Not to abandon all hope.
You know what? I've heard that maybe one of the reasons why behind this is because remember how I mentioned last time they might as well develop a new operating system. The rumor is that it's been delayed yet again. That they're really considering starting from scratch on a new operating system. That this is already too old. Isn't that crazy?
I believe it though. I mean, it sounds right to me. Honestly, it does.
Microsoft programmers have joked that the release date is null, implying that it's undefined. When a Microsoft representative was asked about the indefinite delay, she said, "We sincerely apologize about the delay. To be honest, our programmers haven't even started on it yet." We keep almost working on Vista, but then something comes up and we put it off. While dozens of computer manufacturers and millions of customers become increasingly impatient, Microsoft plans to temper their agitation by releasing several more Windows XP service packs. New service packs consistently provide new bugs and security holes, which allow us to release more patches, said senior engineer from the company.
Yeah,
this
really.
Makes it seem like we're actually accomplishing something. Yeah.
That sounds like a pissed off employee.
I think that's a very pissed off employee.
All right, Don.
that just sounds awful. All right.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty.
Okay, we have 3 movies scheduled to come out in 2007 or early 2008.
Okay.
The first one, and some of them, these do not sound incredibly well conceived to me.
Yeah, like Fantastic Four was great.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That
you
was
wait.
A great idea.
Just you wait. We have the casting in.
I'm still excited about Thundercats.
Casting for the Doctor Strange movie, which is now apparently slated to be a comedy.
No.
A comedy, the Doctor Strange movie.
I went out.
You do these serious things all the time.
I went out on Doctor Strange as a...
Well, you got beat.
I'm sure. I know I got beat. But
David Hyde Pierce from Frasier will be playing Doctor Strange.
Okay, that's fine.
And Sandra Bullock will be playing his wife, Clea. Clea? Is that her name?
I think it's clitoris.
Clitoris. Like
yeah,
clitoris.
Well, wait. Frasier is in the other superhero
Our
movie.
Our ratings
so
just went...
Yeah. The Green Arrow movie has been approved by DC.
Wait, what was that?
The Green Arrow movie has been approved by DC.
Okay.
It will be a dark and gritty action movie about the Green Arrow, the masterful archer, and his sidekick, the blonde bombshell Black Canary,
mm-hmm.
Which will be starring Ryan Philippe and Reese Witherspoon, the married couple, as the married team of superheroes.
Oh, man.
No freaking way.
Yes, a married couple playing married superheroes.
Kick ass.
And apparently there will be
a... Reese Witherspoon's on a roll. She might knock it out.
Chick can't do martial arts. Have you seen her?
Yeah, but they just do, like, digital martial arts.
She's supposed to be the mistress of the martial arts.
I thought she just screamed.
No, she's supposed to be the mistress of the martial arts.
Who screams? Right,
whatever.
Okay. So what's the next one?
Okay, then the Avengers movie lineup. Okay, this one sounds a little better. They actually... Avi Arad, who was the producer of X-Men and a bunch of other superheroes, is stepping out of the producer role, and he will be directing.
Cool.
And will star, this is currently the lineup, Captain America will be played by Vin Diesel.
No.
Thor will be played in a double role by John Heater, I don't know how to pronounce his name, of Napoleon Dynamite. Apparently will play Thor's secret identity. And Dolph Lundgren will be playing Thor.
No!
He's back!
Isn't he dead?
No!
Like, I thought he was dead.
Oh, God,
no.
I just saw him in Johnny Mnemonic again the other night.
Okay.
He plays that killer priest.
I will break you.
Iron Man will be played by Steve Buscemi.
That's bizarre.
I actually kind of like that.
He's got
Iron Man?
He's
in Iron Man. He doesn't have to be powerful.
Tony Stark's supposed to be, like, good-looking and suave.
So... He's got character.
Steve Buscemi play suave, you know. And the whole idea is you put on the mask, you become someone else, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, Iron Man does not have to be big, buff, and powerful. He's got a robotic
Tony
super
Stark
armor.
Is supposed to be suave like Bruce Wayne.
But he's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, like
in
transformation. And Fantastic Four were so, like, close to what they were in real life.
And then they have a lineup of wash-ups, like, for the rest of them. But, well, not wash-ups. B-list and an A-list. We as Scarlet Witch.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know she was in the Avengers. Firuza Balk. Known from The Craft.
Yeah, that's kind of understandable.
Giant Man is to be played by Chris Klein from American Pie. He's like the buff, blonde, all-American guy.
I'd see him more as Craft and American.
This one's interesting. I can actually see her in this role. Rachel Weisz from The Mummy as the Wasp.
Okay, yeah.
Probably the most waspish actress I can think of out there anyway.
No. That's cute.
And here's the one that's going to have a lot of fans pissed off. Okay, Hawkeye is being cross-cast.
Cross-dressed?
Cross-cast is going to be played by a woman. Another Archer character.
So is cross-dressed.
They're pulling a Starbuck.
Yeah, apparently. More so than you think. Gina Davis will be starring as the Archer character, Hawkeye, who will is featuring a lesbian relationship with an unnamed actress playing Mockingbird.
Oh, I like that.
Interesting.
Of course you do.
I love Gina Davis, though. I mean, I can see her in any movie.
Apparently
really?
She was...
I don't.
Apparently...
Her.
She's
apparently
awful.
She was up for the U.S. Olympic archery team.
Huh. Is Commander in Chief still on the air?
What's that?
Is Commander in Chief still on the air?
That I don't. I'm
yes,
not
a, I'm it's not, a it's a top running series. They didn't want to put it up against American Idol.
I've actually heard it's doing pretty well.
Yes,
I'm not,
it's a top.
Like, I watch
top
it. It's not
series.
One of my favorite shows, but I love Gina Davis. She's great.
It's a piece of crap.
What?
I hate that show.
I've actually,
what?
I've
never seen it, but I've heard it's actually pretty good.
Really?
I've seen it. I like the politics parts, but it's trying to be West Wing plus Seventh Heaven.
Yeah.
And the Seventh Heaven parts don't work for me.
The thing I don't like, the writing
like,
isn't great, but to me, she really feels presidential. So, that's the reason why I like it.
You're on crack.
Okay, that's all I got.
I like her.
You got another one here?
No, I don't.
You don't? Okay.
Pete?
Do you have another one, Matt?
I got one more.
Go for it.
All right. Right here, just the final one. Aaron, you're going to yell at me for this because it's not inherently geeky.
Well, you never do geeky.
You
so.
Never do geeky news.
Shit, whatever. Spectators cheered as the entire Cambodian Midget Fighting League squared off against an African lion. Tickets
a lion?
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's some tough
midgets. Tickets have been sold out 3 weeks before the much-anticipated fight, which took place in the city of Kampong Chenang. I think I just maimed that, but okay. The fight was slated when an angry fan suggested Yang Sihamoni, president of the CMFL, claimed that one lion could defeat his entire league of 42 fighters. Sihamoni takes great pride in the league he helped create, as was conveyed in his recent advertising campaign for CMFL. It stated his midgets will take on anything, man, beast, or machine.
Did they, like, declaw this thing, or they just went mono?
No, they went after it.
Damn!
How many survived?
Yeah, here we go. The African lion, Panthea leo, was shipped to centrally located Kampong Chenang, especially for the event, which took place last Saturday, April 30th, 2006. 2005, in the Colosseum. This is an old story. The Cambodian government allowed the fight to take place under the condition that they receive a 50% commission on each ticket sold and that no cameras would be allowed in the arena. The fight was called in only 12 minutes, after which 28 fighters were declared dead, while the other 14 suffered severe injuries, including broken bones and lost limbs, rendering them unable to fight back.
Damn.
Yeah.
So...
Where do you find your freaking news?
Actually, I've seen some of the sites he goes to. They're kind of scary.
Yeah.
You know, they're all like...
That's like sad, though.
Well, I started at the BBC and then I spread out.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that wasn't on BBC.
No.
Maybe Fox.
Actually, no, I think this was on BBC. Yeah, it is.
Oh, my God.
This one was on BBC.
Oh, my God, it is on BBC.
All right, anyway.
So this is actually a story that
you have the last one.
I originally heard of on NPR, but I actually found a more detailed article recently. You guys all know that El Nino has been changing the weather.
Right.
Okay, so we here in Los Angeles have been getting quite a bit of rain. They've actually been having, oddly enough, extremely cold temperatures up north. Well, apparently they've been having bizarrely cold temperatures, and there's a new phenomenon that started because of this. In the same way where you have exploding pipes when it gets so cold, they've been having exploding maple trees.
Oh, man, people at work have been talking about this because they heard it as well.
We have this problem in upstate New York a lot.
Okay. Well, apparently...
I've heard about this in Connecticut, but I never saw it.
I just heard people talking about it because it was on NPR.
Yeah.
People were talking about it at work.
So apparently there was even one fatality. There were some hunters out there.
Yeah.
And Robert Bound of Vermont said... He described it as a giant thunderclap. Then there was this explosion, and he and his friends turned to make sure everyone was okay. At first, they thought everyone was okay. Then he realized his friend had been impaled on a frozen maple icicle.
Is this why they have to tap them?
That might explain why, actually. You know, but
how they discovered it.
Yeah, once you tap a tree, you have to keep tapping it,
or else it'll explode.
Otherwise, it starts.
Is this another non-geeky story?
No, actually, there's
I mean, this is how the ants came to be. You know, the stories of the exploding trees.
Well, anyway, he says it was like a horror movie, a very bad horror movie. That's my story.
Crazy. I heard people were talking about this at work. Like, I guess it was a couple days ago. They were talking about it, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yep. Like 3 days ago, I think.
Yeah, it was like 3 days ago. What day was that?
April 1st.
Oh, right.
That might explain why.
April 1st.
Which is what?
As I'm sure everyone's already guessed.
Welcome April to Fools! So not one single news story was
real?
No, actually, one news story was real, and they have to figure out which one it was.
No, really? Actually, I didn't give the real news story.
Oh, you didn't? Don was going
to actually.
Flip a real
I knew
one.
That. I was just trying to add another joke.
But
thanks for ruining it.
I don't want to picture our little listeners running around like rats in a maze trying to figure out.
I would like though to throw out there that I do not like Gina Davis movies. That was also false.
Hey, Long Kiss to Goodnight was an amazing flick.
Actually, I did really like that film.
That's got one good line in it.
It has a couple.
Oh.
No.
Never make an assumption, because then you make an ass out of you and umption.
That was the best line. Yes. I think I'll skip that.
That was
one.
The best line.
I am here
for the
to
first
chew
time
gum
in third grade.
And kick ass, and I'm all out of bubble gum.
Yes, but that's They Live.
All right, so let's move
another
on
bad line.
To
classic
our
battle.
Topic. Matt's going to introduce our topic here. Yeah. Hang on. Yeah.
Flawless. I had no idea.
Yeah. All right. So, Matt.
Yes,
are you going to introduce our topic this week?
Welcome to the Geek Money Show. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about how geeks get their money, how they work it out and stuff like that. So, first of all, I had the basic question I wanted to start.
First
this
of all,
on.
Who here has any money?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyone?
Aaron
Anyone?
Does.
Bueller?
Why do I have money?
Actually, it's interesting. In the forum, someone was talking about this. Someone was talking about how we were all like probably filthy rich, and I was just laughing.
Yeah, they were like, "Yeah, who was it?" They were saying like we're really, you know, hey, these guys don't have time. They're at the top of their business.
Where
we were financially
solid. If we were at the top of our business, we would have time. You know, yeah, let's face it.
Yeah,
but the reality is we're just clawing our way up there.
Yep.
Give us a couple
we're
more years.
We're scrapping like everybody else.
Yeah, basically because geeks are now solidly making money, or at least geek industries are slowly taking over the world.
Mm-hmm.
The first things that I had to ask was the fact that megacorps like Microsoft, Google, eBay, and the money that comes along with that, does that give cachet? Is that why geeks are now cool?
That's certainly a part of it.
Well, let me throw out there, I don't necessarily think that all the companies you named are geek businesses. I think some of them are specifically nerd businesses.
Yeah, but... You know?
Like, Microsoft is a nerd business. I don't think
are we
going
to get to the minutia of, like,
the difference between geek and nerd?
Or, yeah, or...
Well, I'm just going to throw that out there because someone else on the forums probably will otherwise.
Right.
Yeah, but I think for most people, I mean, there's a lot of crossover between the two.
Yeah, well, yeah. Like I'd say Microsoft is a nerd business, eBay solidly in the geek camp. You know?
Right, but now, like, even you look on television and you see all these things where they always have that the class reunion episode, and the geek who was a moron years ago is now back and he's ultimately wealthy and has all his money.
All of a sudden, the cheerleader's fawning all over
him. Exactly.
Like, that's like the dream. I mean, people like writing about that, and that's the dream thing, but that doesn't necessarily happen.
Yeah, but did that exist pre all of this internet boom, internet being the, you know, the sexy...
No, I think there was a time when, like, if you were a man of the earth, a man or a woman of the earth, and had to, and you know, that was the way you made a living. You constructed things. You had craft skills, and it wasn't necessarily geeky stuff. I think there was, you know, there's always been scientists. There's always been, you know, people with obsessions and stuff.
Right, but are those geeks?
Yeah, I would put those in, under geek categories, maybe. Right. But I think recently there are video game creators. I would say fall under the geek camp. There are technological
a couple fabulously
inventors.
Wealthy comic book artists that
yeah,
you know, like Stan Lee. God bless him. I don't know if he ever broke the million mark, and a lot of. You know, he probably did late in life, admittedly.
Yeah,
but a lot of the more young. Comic book artists, I can guarantee you, have some serious cash to
Well, that's
around.
The thing, is now that we are the guys who are fueling the market.
I'm saying the big name people.
Right, like things like Spider-Man are taking over, and, you know, the Fantastic Four movie did make a lot of money, and is this because we're now fueling the market? Because geeks are where the money's at.
Well, I have to think that with the evolution to an internet society, you know, they're inevitably there's a sort of geeks starting to work together. I mean, you know, so for example, if you're someone who collects things, the internet makes it incredibly easier for someone to collect things.
Right. You know?
So in a weird way, this thought is a little half formed, but in a weird way, I think that geeks are getting more powerful just from the ability to communicate with each other.
Right. The geek community is growing.
And I think that you could, like, there are geek businesses that are starting out that it will never make money, like the game industry, the role-playing and board game industry.
But hasn't that just moved to video games?
No, that's separate. Video game players and board game players are different people.
Right.
Like, you may like both of them, but it's not it's completely a different hobby. 100%.
Well, I'm just thinking of like not Mike Pondsmith. Is it Mike Pondsmith? Who did Cyberpunk and he moved and created, what's that flying game for Xbox?
Oh, Crimson Skies.
Crimson Skies.
Yeah. I'm sure there's been some people who've jumped the fence, but in general, I think that, you know, and people, those, you know, someone who's making a role playing game is starving. They don't do that as a business.
Right.
There's one company that does that as a business.
I know a lot of people who wrote supplements for, like, White Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were big supplements, and they sold well. And they, you know, they could never quit their day job.
No.
You know, they made pennies on the dollar.
And it's getting worse. Like, role-playing market now is at, like, an all-time low.
I know. Well, that makes me sad.
You got to keep in mind, though, the problem with, there's an inherent problem with role-playing in person, okay? Which is that... When you're doing a role-playing game on the internet, like...
Which is not a role-playing game, in my opinion, but...
World of Warcraft absolutely is a role-playing game. No. In fact, especially when you go on to the role-playing servers...
I would say it is purely because people are taking their characters to an nth degree just as much as they ever did in a dice room where they're getting married. And anytime you're getting married,
I don't feel like I took
playing.
On I don't really felt like I didn't I never so, felt so like because, I took on the role.
So
I know
so because you didn't take on the role that nullifies everyone else's experience. I mean there are a lot of role-playing gamers who play, in person,
right,
where they don't do a very good job taking on the role either.
That's true.
So,
well, I think what I have to throw out there is that there are role-playing video games, and then mm-hmm. there are role-playing games.
Yeah.
And I don't believe the video game genre has quite yet crossed over to true role-playing.
Yeah.
Because the mechanic, the system of a video game, is always the dominant aspect of the game. I've never seen a video game where the role-playing eclipsed the... I need to get to next level. I need this item, because all of your quests.
I'm trying to think. Even with Baldur's Gate, no, that was still pretty much.
I mean,
quest-related.
A role playing game is self generated. You decide the direction. You decide everything.
But we
and
should
that open ended aspect. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to start
the business.
Well, the point I was going to make is that with an online game.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to drive across town. You don't have to get your friends together. You don't have to find people in your town who can spend 8 hours, 6 hours, 4 hours to get together.
Right.
You go, you get on your computer, and you start, and you play. You know?
But so, I wouldn't say that the people selling basketballs or baseball bats have as the same problem as people selling role-playing games. I mean, you have to get a team together to play
Madden
that.
Hasn't eliminated football.
That's true.
Whereas World of Warcraft could be argued to be damaging the role-playing.
Well, it's also
world.
Because of the crowd that you're talking about, specifically the crowd who is taken in World of Warcraft, who was playing the Dungeons & Dragons, are the crowd mm-hmm. who are going to be attracted by the shiny things of World of Warcraft. I mean, you, me, Aaron, Peter, we all want... sort of the new, biggest, shiniest, most technological thing that's going to go, even, in certain ways, to a loss of role-playing. Because you know what? Do you still role-play as much as you used to?
Only because of time constraints.
For
me, it's easier to fit in a little time for World of Warcraft
right.
than it is to sit down and role-play.
Exactly.
Which is basically what my point was.
Role-playing with friends, is infinitely preferable.
Right.
Infinitely preferable to World of Warcraft.
Like, I'd rather sit down with a board game and play with people than...
Doesn't hold a candle.
Yeah.
Okay. So here, this brings
bit
up...
Bit of a tangent there, sorry.
Yeah, this brings up the next topic, which is basically, which is better? Mm-hmm. Is it better to have an environment on the internet, especially, where you can have free services provided, where you can go and write your White Wolf supplements and everything like that, or, where... There is that geek view, which is basically the internet should be an open source like it was originally, where everybody just provides information, everybody can get their music, they can get their video games, they can get their software for free. Or should the internet
geeks make
be,
money off of that?
Should it be, basically a capitalistic environment where it's Bill Gates and Google and you make your money as much as you can?
What's interesting, I think there's actually... a lot to be said for the different cross sections of the two. I mean, mm-hmm. I think we have seen that the capitalist society has obviously encouraged people to create things that they might not otherwise do. But at the same time, when you have an easy open source community, something that people can really contribute to, I mean, you have the most amazing things that come out of it.
Right.
I mean,
the question is really what pushes forth the geek agenda, though.
I'm a little embarrassed to admit, there are aspects of the open source that I really don't like. It's wonderful that everybody can make their movies and put them online.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great thing. But it gets really hard to find anything good online. You have to slog through so much bad and go by word of mouth to try and find something
good. So you think the money then allows you to find...
Yeah,
I find that
if you have to pay for something, generally the people who are putting out whatever you have to pay for are going to be more selective. Because if I buy something from you and it's crap, I'm not going back to you.
See, I would take that to trial because I think all of the little movies and the clips and the Star Wars kids and the funny clips of the fat cat or whatever are things that are, in terms of viral marketing, that are making it to us anyway. That even,
but I think there's a balance. I mean, obviously, we release things for free. I mean, we're doing this show for free.
For free.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I believe that, you know, if I decided that, you know, I wanted to make some type of internet television show or another radio show as a business model and say, you know what, I think now I've done this, I think I could start another type of show, and but charge. I think that that's an okay thing to do. Now, people may not want to buy it. They might go, well, yeah, but I can get Geeks On for free.
But doesn't that make your content inherently worse?
Well, what I'm saying is that, yeah, we put out Geeks On. Geeks On is a great product I'm very proud of. But how many people have given up trying to listen to podcasts because of the sheer volume of crap, and they never found us?
Yeah, I got to point out, I mean, I was recently just listening to the first couple minutes of a couple different podcasts just out of curiosity to see what else was out there. I was not impressed by a lot of the stuff I was hearing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but
I listened to Dragons in Landing this week, for example, and they caught me. Like, they were up front, they were quick, I could understand what they were saying. They were interesting.
Right.
I listened to a podcast from two friends who put it out in New York, apparently reviewing movies and just kind of talking about life in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, I knew one of the people. I wanted to like it, but my God, it was an awful podcast. Like, if that was the first thing I listened to, I'd be like, why would I ever want to listen to another one?
See, you know? But in the same breath, you have things like the movie industry right now, which is charging more and more money for putting out a product which we care less and less about.
And we've put out the argument that one of the reasons why people don't go to the theaters is because we're pissed off that we're paying money for crappy product.
Right.
I mean, people
Putting out good product, then people will want to see more, and they will pay for it, and you will be given further motivation to put out a better product. With the open source, there's not necessarily a huge motivation to put out a better product as opposed to flooding the market with as much product as possible to get yourself some attention.
And I think it's self-regulating. I mean, we'll pay for what we decide is worth paying for. We will not pay for it when we feel like it's rubbish.
Yeah.
And right now, there's only, I think, one podcast that's charging, if I... Correct, the man who...
Oh, there is one that's charging?
There's a large number of pay podcasts, but they're from professional radio stations and stuff like that.
Oh, I didn't know that there... I know that the guy who... the creator
is Stern charging?
Stern doesn't have a podcast.
I thought he did.
No.
A lot of these radio shows do. They're just the...
Now, I know, like, Rush Limbaugh charges, but it's part of his service... Like, it's part of the service he's always had, and coming with that is the podcast. He now has a podcast, but, like... what's the guy who was the creator of the original Office?
Right.
Yeah, he has a podcast now.
And that one you pay per episode.
Really?
Like, that's actually the first one I know that is put out that you pay per episode.
I've heard his podcast. It's kind of funny, but it's nothing that...
Well, we'll see. It could be... people may not want to pay for that
I could think of, like, NPR, all of their stuff is free, I think, but, like... A lot of commercial radio stations, you can download their talk shows commercial free after the talk show's done for a service fee over, like, you know, pay for a month, get all the podcasts.
So I guess this is, you know, a good example. We'll see what pans out. Are they going to make money? I don't know.
But again, does this put forward the geek agenda? Does it push things forward, or does it stagnate things?
There's no reason why.
Well, what's the geek agenda? I'm not sure what you're...
See, the
you
thing
know,
is,
you haven't been informed?
Yeah.
You
didn't meet at the restaurant?
Wait, we're going to stop the episode and induct Don into
the geek
world. And
cool.
Hang on.
Get to... We'll tell you what the geek
agenda
is.
What's the paddle for?
Wait, hang on. One moment.
Okay.
And then you put it in the...
With a toaster?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
See, that's the geek agenda.
Now I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what is the geek agenda?
No, but I think the geek agenda is one of constant growth. Is one of constantly evolving technology and evolving, you know...
They squirrel away in their corners, and they do what they feel like.
Yeah, I think evolving technology is a really specific thing to say. Like, the Society for Creative Anachronism might strongly disagree with you, you know?
Yeah, I think...
I bet you the Society for Creative Anachronism still plays World of Warcraft.
I bet you some of them don't.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, when the strange little man in his basement creates something amazing... And he shows it to his friend, who's, you know, a little more business savvy. And he says, you know what? I can make you some money. Then we think, oh, my God, this geek has taken over the world. But I think as geeks like to kind of we squirrel away on our computers. We figure it out. We tinker. We create. We make all these things. But I don't know if we have to necessarily have an agenda.
I think the only common theme that geeks have is we like the rush. You know, the rush of excitement. And whatever causes that excitement, that's our fix. You know, so like for me, it's stories. Like when a story pays off,
I would say anybody's really like excited. That. I mean, like an ex-gamer does that.
For me, it's the blood on my axe as I crush the orc skull.
Yep, you're officially a geek.
Yeah. Here's your toaster.
Blood. Blood for Odin.
Did you really uninstall...
I don't know how to react to you right now.
Did you uninstall World of Warcraft or did you put it back on?
No, it's uninstalled. It's all safely right. Uninstalled. And I'm avoiding that game that you're playing, too. I'm a little worried about that one, too.
Morrowind.
Although I just finished Resident Evil 4.
Oh. You finished it?
Oh, no.
That's good.
All right, let's not get off topic.
No. Honestly, this is the geek agenda.
Stay on target.
This is the geek agenda.
Resident Evil 4. Listen, you're talking about a great game that a lot of people didn't get to play.
Right.
You know, there's something interesting about that in terms of...
What do you mean? Resident Evil is one of the best-selling GameCube games of last year.
GameCube, but a lot of people didn't get access to it.
You know, what did GameCube make the mistake
of doing? How many other people here... We are like, serious hardcore geek gamers. How many other people have played it? Just me.
Yeah, I would say that the majority of the world...
I would say most geeks have played it. We're just freaks because we have no time.
Yeah, I would say that that's...
Go to Japan.
Well, I'm just saying...
Those are some geeks right there.
And they played that game up and down big time.
No, but I get what you're saying, you know?
All right, so in the end, which one's going to be more functional and longer lasting? The money one or the non-money way?
The money way.
I think the combo platter.
You think the combo platter.
I'm sticking with the combo platter, because one drives the
That
other.
Wasn't the choice. So, yeah, I would go for the combo platter, too, if that was, like, option number three.
Well,
you unfortunately... You have to think out of the box, man. If you offered two choices, you take the third.
Listen, there was a binary choice there, and I picked the second one.
This is a quantum choice. I don't go for one.
Zeros and ones,
if
baby.
If I have to choose one, I have to go with the open source, because one specific reason. Geeks like to share. We like to share our addictions. We like to get other people on board. And if they can get it for free, great.
You know? How many things do you do that are geeky that you have not paid for?
Sorry. Role-playing.
Wait, that was like a double...
I own notebooks.
That was a double entendre there.
You guys play...
I lied.
You guys
I have
play
one
my board
player's
games
handbook.
All the time.
Yeah, but you
when
paid
when was
for
the
them.
Last time you guys paid there?
But
a
you
game?
Paid for them.
Yeah.
You bought
okay,
them.
Okay, 1,001 white, blank white pieces of paper. Celebrity. Okay.
So how often do you play those, and how often do you do things that you've paid
as
for?
As often as humanly possible.
Yes, but
I would well,
try to do
90% of the time,
you're
doing things that you had to pay for. World of Warcraft, you know, video games.
I listen
games.
To podcasts all the time.
Actually, I gotta disagree. I don't play World of Warcraft as much anymore, and now I'm actually sticking to a lot of free games.
Like
Splashback, you know, hours of my life gone. There's a online card game on that free site.
Oh, by the way, just so people know, Splashback is a game that we have linked to on our site, and it's a fun game. But let me argue that half of these games you go to are actually paid for, maybe not by you, but they're paid
by
for by
advertising. I think that's...
You're paying for it with your time, your attention.
The most time-consuming thing that all of us do, the internet.
Yeah.
Is
not
all
free.
That content, all that content on there is free. You might pay for the service.
Pay for the service.
Almost the entire internet is free. All that reading material, all that news, dig.com, all that.
Well, by his argument,
board,
nothing on the internet is free because almost everything
it with
has an advertising.
Well,
with that type of thing, there's nothing on this planet that's free.
So, I challenge you to walk down any street in Los Angeles and not find a billboard staring you in the face.
But
well, I'm free.
But the point is, look, truly open source is, the internet is probably as close to truly open source as we get, you know, because there's an awful lot of things on there. That
Wikipedia.
Well, honestly.
But are we moving quicker?
I honestly believe one of the reasons that the role-playing industry is going down in flames is because people photograph their books.
No. I'll tell you exactly the reason why. In fact, I'm also hearing this on other podcasts recently, but I have the same exact theory before, is... until recently, well, hobby shops have never been able to sell any of their games or anything hot, and nothing just burned off the shelves.
Yeah, there's
until collectible card games and collectible miniatures came out. Okay, these things were one print games that they released, they put them on the shelves, and they people literally lined up and grabbed every bit of them until they were gone. They never sat on the shelves. Then a new series or new pack or new set of miniatures would come on the scene. There was no reprints. You bought the new set of boxes, and those would fly off the shelves. This is money in the bank. Nothing. They didn't sit there for 3 years. It's not like a bookshop. A bookstore, there's books on the shelves. You don't go in there, and the, you know, except for maybe Harry Potter. So what has happened is that the entire industry has gone down this route. Every game has some type of supplement that gets released every month. That's the hot new game.
Yeah, actually.
Collectible card games, collectible miniatures. If you don't have something out every month, the store owners see it as dead weight on their shelves.
Yeah, Palladium is reaching now. I just saw Palladium Books had just put out a coloring book.
Yeah, I mean,
April Fool's.
No, seriously, it's a coloring book.
To me, the reason why the D20 system has been so successful above other ones, besides the fact that it's Hasborg, is that it is open source and that you can get a new book every 3 days. There's something new, and people like to buy that stuff. They want something new all the time.
So what happened to geeks only sit in their corners and don't want anything new, and they just are artsy and develop their
own? I didn't say anything they want anything new. I said that they don't have an agenda besides kind of exploring on their own.
Something new.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm missing something. That's my theory of why buying a set of 10 GURPS books and having it sit on the shelf for 8 months isn't a failure. You know, that's what a bookstore does. Mm-hmm. But stores these days see it as a failure because, you know, they're not flying off the shelves.
They've had that taste of success.
So that's all they want to order. You know, they don't want to order a series of books like that. To me, to them, it's a waste.
I should check in and find out if Magic is still selling the way it used to.
I'd be curious
to find out.
No, but there's, you know, like that new Marvel DC card game where you can battle between each other. Those things are flying off the shelf.
I actually went to a convention once, right? And I had my little deck of Magic cards somebody had given me. I sat down to play the guy, and he pulled up a steamer trunk. Steamer trunk filled with Magic cards.
Okay, that's frightening.
I still
do have a couple of boxes of my first edition Magic cards stowed somewhere. So.
Yeah.
In his defense, each one of them was in a plastic sheath, which, as we all know, triples the size of the card.
Oh, God, they were.
Oh, so it's really only a third of the steamer trunk was filled with actual cards. Yeah. The rest is...
I think Magic's reaching...
Mother would be very, very relieved at that news.
I was actually at a gaming store, and they're now releasing box sets of Magic cards of very famous Magic battles. Like, people who have had the best cards
in the championship
world.
Decks.
The championship decks.
They've been doing that for years.
Kidding me.
Yeah.
They've been doing that for years.
I'm done with collectible so-and-sos. They're really frustrating.
GURPS?
No, you know what? I'm fine with them. As long as, you know, I don't want to have to build a deck. I don't like building decks.
GURPS
but
is not a collectible game.
The games themselves are still fun. You know?
It might look
GURPS
like
is
it.
Not a collectible game.
If you look at my closet, you might think otherwise, but it is not a collectible.
It's a game that you play, and you're collecting things.
I mean, I would love to point the finger at you, but it just occurred to me I still have all those vampire books hanging out on the shelf.
And Mage and Werewolf.
No.
Was another game that collapsed under the weight of releasing once a month or around there, is that they got too much stuff.
Yeah, their world got too complicated.
It got too complicated because they were trying to keep up with what the market was, is putting a new book, a new material on the shelf.
They handled
every
it badly, though. If anyone out there actually plays the new vampire system, I'd love to hear from you. They haven't met anyone who's enthusiastic about it at all.
I hear the werewolves aren't like those eco warriors anymore. They're just big, tough guys.
I have no idea.
Kind of stupid idea.
Okay, so final rule was I was open source. Pete was capitalism.
No, I'm multi. I'm tri.
Glyceride? Something?
I'm tri.
Okay. Aaron's the chaos theory.
I think that, geeks should make some money. Get out there and market your ideas.
And Don's open source, right?
Yeah. Well, excellent. I mean, I don't think the pay-for-service will ever go away.
Right.
You know?
The what service?
The pay-for-service.
Yeah.
You know?
Cool.
Well, we have some, like, semi-related geek...
Bits.
Okay, so This is our first time doing this. This is a we decided to since we're talking about money and business here, we decided to do the Geek
Stock Market Exchange, brought to you by Geeks On.
But instead of mentioning companies and stuff like that.
Yeah, I originally had wanted to mention companies and to say, you know, hey, like, these are
like we know anything about stocks.
I would suggest anyone who takes our stock advice deserves what they get.
I didn't want to say these are companies you should buy as much as these are companies which I think are cool. Or, you know, like Jiren is a really cool company that deals in stem cell research. You know, but they
I've
thought
lost
it would
a
be
bit
boring,
of money with
you know?
Them.
Well, yeah. This still might be boring, but
they're
we're going to do it anyway. So we decided to give actors, games, movies, video games, whatever, stock quotes, and see how that works. It's like the Hollywood Stock Exchange.
There
you
go.
Guys remember that.
I don't.
I'll start. Apparently, Microsoft, the Xbox 360 has had a bumpy ride this last year. Its stock went up and down. It was rollercoastering down or up when it had its big release. So everyone was excited, and then it crashed to the bottom when, of course, no one could get a hold of one. In fact, it bottomed out on my stock market. But I believe the Xbox 360 stock is rising. The Ghost Recon game is out, which I think was amazing. And I'm playing Oblivion now, which to me, up a couple points. But we'll have to see E3 what the Halo 3 trailer looks like to actually see if you should invest in the stock of Xbox 360.
Well, the film industry has had been up, you know, doing pretty well for the last couple of years in terms of, you know, the geek market. We've had just, you know, amazing run in terms of Lord of the Rings, Matrix, Star Wars. But this last year, it has been disappointing not only in terms of the geek stock market, but in terms of just the general industry as well. It's starting to slump, and I've got to be honest, I don't see anything in the near future coming up that's really got me that jazzed or excited. So we're going to have to wait
so
and see.
So the geek movie industry stock is down.
That's down for me, and it's not actually looking rosy over the next 6 months or so. You know, I'm not seeing any. Nothing's got me excited that I know about.
All right, I will not invest in that stock.
All right, I have Nat Portman, Natalie Portman, who I think idled in sort of mid-Star Wars level range geek stock, you know, for a while.
The stock symbol for that is Nat P.
Nat P. Right.
Nat P.
Yes. And this last year, Nat P split for three and basically became three different companies. One was the new Keira Knightley company, which has gone off and done things not so geeky.
Right.
So that subsidiary has dropped. We have the traditional Nat Portman, which has now done V for Vendetta, which is just ballooning through the roof.
Right.
And we have the underground internet Nat Portman stock with her new rap release video, which is now the complete all over the internet, Natalie Portman's internet rap video.
Don has this sort of
interesting... I have not heard of this.
It's actually... It's from the Saturday Night Live episode.
And it's
totally
incredible.
Not
and
yes.
It's fantastic.
On the internet?
It is absolutely fantastic.
You've got to go find it. In fact, we should find a link to it.
We will find
because
a link to it.
You should be checking
it.
YouTube all the time.
Okay.
Because that's where all the
or Ebon's World or...
She sells this. She is the angry rap artist entirely.
Yes.
You know, singing about, you don't understand my life, you know, bitches, you know.
Yeah, she's like,
I'm going to come down.
She's just swearing a
you
blue
know, she's beating
streak.
The crap out of people. It's like, you know.
And because of that, I think the Nat Portman stock is definitely a buy.
Oh, yeah.
And is going through the roof.
I got to tell you, you know, YouTube.
Well, I had news on that, too, so I guess I'm going
to
come up.
YouTube is the place to look for the new hot geek stocks. It's amazing. Things will, you know, you see it there. It's a good chance it's going to shoot up.
Yeah, Donnie? YouTube actually stock just started the company just went public and went instantly to the top charts. So if any of you have not visited YouTube, go and check that out.
Did it really go public, or are you joshing?
Well, in our fake stock market.
Ah, okay.
I've never heard of YouTube until about 3 months
very confusing.
Ago.
German board game futures are holding steady right now.
Yes. That's true.
They have performed admirably in the past. I believe Merrill Lynch actually uses them as the cornerstone of most of their conservative investing strategies now. I think I should be shifting into NPR mode right now. German board game futures are looking steady. Though, unfortunately, I'm unaware of anything new coming out by German board game futures. But their consistent performance in the past has been strong. So I think we can anticipate good things from them.
Well, I both have new news,
some
new
insider
hot tip.
Stock trading information. We're not supposed to release, but we did play
Kalis, which is
exactly.
Actually, we thought it was great.
Kalis is a great game, and I think that's going to send the stock.
Why used me?
I think it's going to send the stock soaring.
Yeah, in fact, Kalis has been released for a while, and it sold.
I bet he has.
Sold off the shelves.
Get away from the window.
It was off the shelves almost instantly. Apparently, Kalis is very popular with the geeks.
Wow. Yeah, I bet he is. Hmm.
It's the ridgy forehead.
Well, I have some other American stock, gaming stock tips here. The GURPS RPG has been...
That was tanking for a while.
Yeah, GURPS was in a...
Yet it was still devouring every other company in sight.
GURPS was in a slow, steady decline. Then the fourth edition was released, and it peaked just a little bit. But last week, they announced GURPS Space 4th Edition, which is a supplement for GURPS. The original GURPS Space was freaking awesome. I mean, that's one of the best gaming supplements of all time, in my opinion. Awesome, awesome. If you're, like, into crunchy, even if you're not into gaming at all, the great information you can get out of the book is fantastic. You can use it for any role-playing game. That was announced, the fourth edition, which is going to be like twice as big as the original. Everyone's
so you
very
think,
excited.
You think GURPS Space is a buy?
GURPS Space is a buy, and GURPS Space stock, I think, is going to completely skyrocket. Although I've heard on the foreign markets, such as Don Stock Exchange, it still isn't doing very well.
Right, right. Pete?
Actually, I want to talk
maybe
about...
the Don Jones Index?
Yeah, the Don Jones Index.
I want to do a retrospective of a stock that we all know. It's a sort of a famous stock. It's the Jar Jar Binks stock, which is sort of the Enron of the geek industry.
Yeah.
You know, it was highly anticipated. I think we really had high hopes for it.
We're going to be bankrupt?
Yeah, well.
We're going to jail?
Yeah. One could only hope, you know.
Yeah, did anybody go to jail because of that crazy
Jar
Jar Binks?
Oh, the JJ Gar.
I don't think anyone actually went to jail, but I do think that
It did come before the Supreme Court, but I think the Emperor intervened.
Yes. Yeah, other geek stocks took a hard hitting. The George Lucas stock
definitely took a hit.
Before,
that's their
parent company,
right?
I'm sorry?
That's their parent company?
Yeah, Star Wars is the parent company. SWS.
Well, the Lucas stock, he was you know, very impressive before that. I mean, you know, we were looking at him as a sort of a far seer, a visionary, mm-hmm. and then we saw that, you know, in the short term, you know, when he's not looking out 10 years into the future, that in fact he's a little myopic. You know, got some.
I was going to say that the Star Wars bubble burst, definitely.
I would say yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm sorry for everybody who lost their shirts on that one.
Yeah.
However, I had an IPO for everybody.
Oh, I did too.
An absolutely new IPO stock. Definitely a buy, I think, mm-hmm. with big future geek principle, is the Kelsey Grammer stock.
The Kelsey Grammer stock?
Yeah, actually, I got to tell you, this is a very wise decision with X-Men 3 coming out.
X-Men 3 coming out.
It's been a kind of a fringe investor.
Yeah, absolutely.
For a long time.
You know, sort of a different level of geek.
But you think it's about ready to bust.
And it's about to go through the roof.
Well, here's what you got to keep in mind. You know, he's a fantastic, fantastic actor who a lot of people have never seen him in this type of genre. So they're not really thinking of him in terms of this. But if you look at sort of his capabilities, I mean, I'm sure that he's going to hit this out of the park. And from this point on, he's going to fully enter the geek world. I mean, the stock market.
I'll believe it when I see it.
He's following up David Hyde Pierce, who was in Hellboy. So I think we're going to have a really nice IPO.
But David Hyde Pierce was just the voice.
No, he was the body, too.
He was?
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought.
For what?
for so Hellboy, for the fish guy in...
I thought he was just the voice.
I don't know. Okay.
We should look that up.
Sure.
I also have a very strong opening IPO.
Oh, really?
This one is a... You can already see it's performing extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
The Tilda Swinton Index
is busting out right now.
I've never heard of this.
Well, the opening for the stock, its first product, was, of course, the Constantine series, where she played the angel.
Oh, yeah.
And then move on to the Narnia series, where she played the witch.
Hmm.
I think we see strong potential for a new type of villainess in the movies, which we currently don't have. So she's filling a very specific role that no one else is currently doing.
Was she in that one where she played the man and the woman?
Yes.
Throughout the years?
Orlando.
Orlando.
Yeah.
Yes.
Orlando. Very, very... It's kind of like a young Meryl Streep.
Below our radar at that point. It was a little outside of the current market.
Boy, if you invested then...
You'd be
buying Apple when it started.
That'd be great.
Yeah, but with these two new offerings, I really believe this is going to be the strongest IPO on the market in quite some time.
Really?
Yep. Mm.
Is she? What's her any future or future prospects for that stock?
I'm not sure at this point. I unfortunately have not done the proper research to answer that question. But I believe we've had a strong
opening.
What market
analyst are you?
All right, Aaron.
I'm done.
Well, actually, you've got your sort of blue chips of the geek world, and one blue chip, like solidly, it's basically been number one in the geek world for a long time, is porn.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that
if only geeks are looking at that.
Well, actually, it's not only geeks, but I mean, just in general, it crosses seems to cross all spectrums, and as an internet function. Apparently seems to be doing pretty well. I just want to say, it doesn't seem to be wavering at all, you know?
Yeah.
Even
when the Star Wars bubble burst, I hear that did
that
even
porn
fluctuate.
It was rising. Yeah, you know.
That's never going to burst.
It's a very firm investment.
Yeah, definitely a firm investment.
Huh.
All right, and what I would say is after even just a little bit of a hiccup with StarCraft Ghost... I would say that the World of Warcraft is still a buy and will probably be a buy for the next few years.
Do you mean Blizzard?
You mean Blizzard.
Blizzard,
yeah. Yes. Blizzard, or even Viacom, if you want to go that far.
I wouldn't go that far. Viacom owns Blizzard?
Yes, they do.
Oh, I didn't know that.
In fact, Viacom was going to be in trouble if it wasn't for the Blizzard's profits recently.
Yes. Exactly.
Really?
Yeah, Blizzard kind of evened them out.
So I would say Blizzard, even with
I'm embarrassed to admit, I actually thought they were owned by someone else entirely.
No.
I thought they were owned by Vivendi Universal.
Oh, you may be right. I think you might be
owned
right.
By... Or not. No.
You may be right.
It is Vivendi
Universal.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
too.
They're underneath the Vivendi Universal stock.
Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah, I think you're right.
In the real world.
It is Vivendi
you're totally
that
right.
was
totally
having
right.
trouble if it wasn't for...
Right. Yes, you are absolutely right. Okay. I'm sorry. But yeah, I would say that Blizzard is still definitely a buy, even though there was a slight drop-off with StarCraft Ghost. And when StarCraft Ghost comes out, it will be even more of a buy. When it comes out?
No, they canceled it. It's not coming out anymore.
Canceled.
It's going to come out.
Okay.
All right.
I think it came out.
It's coming out.
As in out of the closet.
It's coming out.
Admitting that it was a flop.
I don't want to hear it.
Admitting it was a flop.
Am I the only one with
you know why? He's upset
more.
Because he invested in StarCraft Ghost.
I'm just
going to
go through
year.
A couple real quick, then we'll let you wrap it up.
Gone. Yeah, go for it.
All right, American cartoons. Investors are currently wary. Though the unprecedented success of the Cartoon Network continues with such shows as Robot Chicken and Anything by Gennady Kartofsky, the continued failure of Saturday morning cartoons on every other network continues its downward spiral.
Sell.
Shows like Shaolin Showdown and Batman, the new series, have continued to damage brain cells across the United States and stupefy our children. Which is recommending, if you have current shares in this, ditch it now. Even Cartoon Network can't save the future of the American genre.
If you are going to invest in a cartoon, you might want to invest in flew out of my head. What's the team of superheroes? Superman, Batman,
Teen Titans.
Wonder Woman?
Oh, Justice League?
Justice League, they have a video game coming out that actually looks pretty cool.
Well, the Justice League cartoon stock is still doing well, but I believe that's under the Cartoon Network flag.
Oh, okay.
Cartoon Network individually is doing quite well, but it can't save the industry right now.
Okay.
Marvel movies are down. Once again, not a buying situation. Punisher, Fantastic Four,
yes,
Daredevil,
but
Elektra.
They're nowhere near where they were in the Captain America days.
Punisher, Fantastic Four, Daredevil, Elektra, and the upcoming Ghost Rider.
But didn't Spider-Man
sell,
3?
Sell, sell.
Spider-Man 3.
Didn't Daredevil do well?
Right? That's going to knock
Elektra.
Ghost Rider.
Right. Isn't Nick Cage
Ghost Rider? Was
yes. Goat Rider?
Goat Rider.
I would rather watch Goat Rider. That sounds much more interesting to me.
Ghost Rider was not that interesting a comic book to me in the first place.
No, I don't know who kept that damn comic running as long as it did.
Yeah.
You know, but it had investors somewhere.
All right.
Last but not least,
Goat Rider.
Well, basically this has been a conservative investor's favorite for at least the past 50 years. The recent successes of Star Wars and Lord of the Rings have driven the Christopher Lee stock into just an absolute frenzy. So if you don't currently have shares of this, I would suggest buying and selling in the near future because the guy's been in show business for a very long time. And we don't know how much longer he's going to last.
It's no Ian McKellen stock, though, who's also in the upcoming
Who can afford
Da Vinci
that?
Code.
Who well, can afford that stock these
that's
days?
True. Yeah, it's true. Like Google.
All right, close it up, Peter. I have one last one. The Sharon Stone stock. This is actually one that like is really questionable. I mean, this one could go.
I'm a little disgusted by the Sharon Stone.
Yeah,
stock
this
right
one
now.
Really could go either way. I mean, it's
it
had
can
a,
go both ways.
Well, there you go.
Yes, it does.
It's a little fuzzy.
Yeah. Well, it's been it's, the thing about it is it's had some really dark days recently.
Yeah.
You know, Catwoman. You know, but. There's an interesting thing. Basic Instinct 2 is coming out now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got to say...
Or BI 2, if you're in the know.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that that BI 2 actually worries me. I mean, some people see this as a capability
it
for...
It looks just like the first one, down to the leg crossing.
Yeah, well, some people say that that this might be a, sort of a rebound for the stock. I got to say, I'm staying out on this one. This one, yeah. I wouldn't touch this one.
It's
with
too much of a risk.
I don't feel
investment.
As firm about this stock as I did about the porn industry one.
I wouldn't touch this one with a 10-foot pole.
I wouldn't touch this one
bragging.
With your pole.
Excellent.
I never saw BI-1, by the way.
You didn't? No. BI-1 is quite
pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
So I liked Jean Triplehorn in that.
Yes.
Jean Triplehorn is a...
Dead gorgeous.
She's a hot mama.
Are we done with the stock tips?
I think that's it.
Yeah, I actually wanted to read a couple of the limericks we had on our website really fast.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's right. Last week we started a limerick that we asked people to finish.
Fear.
Well, there's actually, I just thought there was one that was quite good. And then there was
it was
one,
mine, right?
No. But the limerick we put out there was, there once was a man named Steve Jobs whose company exploded with iPods. He said with a grin while cashing it in, and then you had to finish.
Da, 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 da.
Right. So one of them was quite good. It was
now don't give the best one. Give the runners up.
Give the runners up. Well, let's pick a couple of the runners up.
There was Aaron's, which sucked.
Mine was good.
what was Aaron's? Because I didn't pull that one out.
Mine's down at the bottom.
Down at the bottom.
Yeah. What was yours? Like something with knobs?
No.
I couldn't sell a dead rat to these slobs is one.
That's not mine.
He said with a grin while cashing it in, I could sell a dead rat to these slobs.
That's not bad.
Yeah. It's not bad. It's really not
That's
bad.
That's good.
Let's see. Here's a side one that was done about Aaron. There once was a geek named Aaron who was seen at a screen just to stare in. When asked by Geek Don what drug he was on, he replied, World of Warcraft's like heroin. Okay, now I gotta say
that's not me. That's
someone
not
doesn't
me.
Understand Aaron because Aaron hates World of
no,
Warcraft.
No, I don't hate it. I thought it was fine.
Hey, yeah, you played
I'm just done.
No, you were done after 4 hours.
No, I played 8 or 9 hours. I mean, how much damn rats and giant spiders and shit can you kill and just get the same stuff over and over?
He
again?
Couldn't get past level 3. It's not his fault that he's bad at it.
No, I got like a pet and shit. It was like
actually, that is a good point because I watched Aaron play the Evercrack, right? At the same time, Matt was playing Evercrack.
Right.
And in the time it took Matt, who was playing on Aaron's computer, by the way, if I recall correctly,
yeah.
It took Matt to get to level 12. Aaron had gotten to level 4.
Yeah, well, so. I'd like to look around, like, even, like, Oblivion. Like, I like to go and explore and like check out the shops and like I want to see what the game is about. You know what I mean? Like I want to see what the world's about. So it's not about. I mean, when
Aaron plays a role playing game to go shopping.
No, like you know, check out what the equipment's like. But when I play.
You're not helping your cause.
When I'm playing with you guys, you literally are running as fast as you can from quest to quest to quest. I can't even read the quests. You don't even read the quests. You just go to the part where, like,
here's the three things
you need to complete, and then you run on. I'm like, wait a minute. There's a storyline here. I'm trying to, like, get the storyline. You guys are running.
I read the quests.
You guys were, I mean, we were literally doing, like, three or four quests a night, and I could
We read the quests.
No. My problem was that you guys had already done the quest three times before me. You're like, oh, we need to go over this hill.
That's
like,
true.
Hell are you supposed to know you're supposed to go over the hill? Because I've done it three times before.
Yeah.
That's true.
I was like,
you've done the dwarven quest, like, you know, you're like, let's get out of this phone.
See, that's
damn
not fun.
Fail.
Like, why do that over and over again? It just doesn't make any sense.
I admit, if they make Pandarans in the expansion, I'll fucking play a Pandaren.
Aaron?
Yeah. I want to be a giant panda.
Don't defend the fact that you guys have been playing the same type of game over and over and over for a year and a half. I mean, there's nothing you can explain to me to justify that.
GURPS.
When have we played GURPS? When was the last time we played GURPS?
I just remember muffs flying in.
You've been collecting the same type of game for 15 years.
All right, keep going.
So, he said with a grin, we'll cash it in, my favorite fish is a cod.
That's not bad.
That's fry.
What was Aaron?
He said with a grin, while cashing in, I shall spread this all on my bod.
That's better.
And these are all from Bry. And he said with a grin, while cashing it in, this makes me hard as a rod.
Okay, Bry needs to get a woman.
Yeah, Bry, we love you, but...
get a girlfriend.
There's a subtext
to explore one of those pay websites we've discussed.
Yes.
Exactly.
There's a subtext here. So let's see. Let's find... Let's find Aaron's response.
See, mine's good.
As opposed to what?
I don't know.
Spreading it on his bod.
Cod, I just don't see cod.
Did you look up the rhyming dictionary to get yours?
The rhyming dictionary?
Yeah, did you go to... No, obviously not.
Okay. So Aaron's was, there once was a man named Steve Jobs, whose company exploded with iPods. He said with a grin while cashing it in, now the film industry and I are at odds.
Have you heard of meter?
A little bit off rhythm.
Now, the film industry and I are at odds.
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
Here's one that they had about Matt.
Oh, God, no.
There once was a geek named Matt who loved Mortal Kombat. He jumped on the net after making a bet saying, where are all the white women at?
I don't get that one.
They're just grabbing, they're reaching.
Just give the best one for the Steve Jobs one.
So the last best one for Steve Jobs was there once was a man named Steve Jobs whose company exploded with iPods. He said with a grin while cashing it in, "Damn, it feels good to be God."
Yeah, that's it.
I thought that was the first one. Yeah, that was actually the first one, and it sort of ruined it for everyone else.
Yeah,
and who was it? That was
he's a new poster.
Was it?
Yeah,
no, Karima.
He's been there.
Karima.
He's been for a few.
I gotta find that picture.
Yeah, he's got 150 posts, so that's on him.
That's one me.
Now there was one about me actually too, which I thought was actually really well done.
Okay.
There once was a writer named Peter, who thought that nothing could be neater. Then starting to speak, but interrupted by geeks, he's been cast as the constant repeater. I thought that was really good.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Who is that?
Oh, gosh.
No, really, we don't care. Okay, let's go. I had to interrupt him. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been funny.
All right, do we have any... Do you have links or anything before we...
That was WNYRPG Jim.
Oh,
excellent.
Yes, I have a link. I'm going to put up a link to... Last week, I put up a link to two different... movies for World of Warcraft called The Legal Danish. They're very funny, very cute. If you haven't seen them yet, check them out. If you've played World of Warcraft or you game, you'll get it. I'm putting up a new one this week called The Torin Brothers, which I came across by accident. I think I was the first person. I spread it to everyone that I could meet. It's hands down the funniest of the World of Warcraft things I've found yet. It's just bloody hilarious. So
cool.
Check it out.
Excellent. We'll put the Nat Portman... wrap on there as well.
Yeah, but it hasn't been yanked yet.
So. It has been yanked on a couple of sites, but there are a few you can find it on.
Now, we also mentioned that Matt checked out the Goblins comic, and you...
Sincerely funny. It is sincerely funny. If you have ever played the D20 system...
Any type of role-playing games.
Or especially the old D&D system, it is bloody hilarious.
Great. Yeah.
Cool. So I should check that out.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
You'll laugh. You'll call us and be...
You'll call us and laugh!
And laugh! And then call us and laugh!
All right. Anything else?
Dear.
No. I think we're...
That's it.
April upon us.
Oh, dear.
And I guess pretty soon we should come up with some... We should do a pre-E3, like what we're looking forward to and what we're hoping to see.
Are we going drinking with some of the geeklings?
I haven't heard
many responses back yet. It was funny. I had a bunch of emails from people coming into town, but they haven't gotten the message. So, if you're coming to E3, give us a call.
And we'll...
I'm going to try and set up a couple different things. There is a live Dungeons & Dragons... improvised play that goes up here in Los Angeles every 2 weeks. I'm going to try and arrange a little outing for that. We'll go drinking together, and maybe if the mood's right, there's enough alcohol flowing, maybe you'll sit in on the studio and do a little Geeks On interview with us.
See, I was afraid where that was going to go. There'd be a little geek love.
Well, we got to pull out the bleachers for so that we can get the geek listeners.
For that. I mean,
right? Okay.
If you're going to E3, we thought, you know, at least we should go and get drinks, even if it's just us four, and, have a little E3
Except
party.
I'm going to have one beer, and Nod's going to have eight, and it's going to be, like, the same.
All right, well, get your geek tolerance up. Anyway, we'll be talking video games coming up. E3 is coming up in about 3-4 weeks, so expect lots of video game talk.
Excellent. Have a great
But until
geek
that time, we're going to try to avoid video game topics, just in case any of you are wondering why we're not talking video games.
Right. All right, guys. Have a good geek week.
Rock it out.
Geek it out.